The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. The children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've picked up a Bible and started reading in the New Testament, you would soon learn that the first four books in the Bible are very similar. They all tell that story of Jesus as his life here on this earth. Many of them have the same stories in there. They seem very close. And those first four are called the Gospels. They tell that story of Jesus Christ. They tell the story of his going to the cross and the resurrection. The first three are known as the Synoptic Gospels because they are very close together, and As they were written, they were probably using some of the, even some of the same source material, because many of it is word for word in those first three. Even though they're so similar, each of the Gospels, though, has something different to it. Each one has a different theme, or they emphasize different things throughout their storytelling of that story of Jesus Christ. For Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, and one of the things in there is Mark is always saying immediately something happened. Mark is a no-nonsense Gospel that things need to take place. It is imminent and it is urgent to take things, to move things along. With Luke is known as the storyteller because Luke has many of the parables that we do not see in the other three Gospels. Some of those are maybe some of your favorites, like the prodigal son or the good Samaritan. Those are only found in Luke. And then John's Gospel is completely different as far as the style that it was written and the way that it was written. Even some of the order of the stories are a little bit different from the other three. And then we have Matthew. Matthew is the Gospel that we were reading out of this morning. And Matthew is known as the teaching Gospel. Matthew emphasizes the teachings and the preachings and the ministry of Jesus as he goes through his countryside. It is in Matthew, then, that we find that Sermon on the Mount, the extended version of it, which covers three chapters, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Here in our Gospel lesson today, we see Matthew as in a more typical fashion, that Matthew is talking about Jesus' teaching. He's in our Gospel lesson today, Jesus gives instructions. And the occasion for the instructions is because of all the need of the people. As it opens up in our Gospel reading today, let me reread that to you for a second here. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. As Jesus was going from town to town teaching, as his fame started to spread, he would be mobbed with people looking for help, with people coming up to him and saying, can you heal my arm? I broke it and it is not healing up in a proper way. Or he would cure the lepers. He would give sight to the blind. Every place he went, it seems like there was always people crying for help. The need was great, and not only for curing their illnesses, but also so that they could hear that word. They were hungering for that word of God. They were hungering for what Jesus had to tell for them. When I first started ministry, when I first came to my first call, one of the things that stood out for me is the need that people have, the troubles and the issues that people are going through. I guess I grew up somewhat in a sheltered family. I had a good mother, had a good father, had a house to live in, had all the food that we needed, had good friends. And then when I got out into the ministry, I saw other families that were not so fortunate, that were dysfunctional. Some people were caught up in addictions with alcohol or drugs or tobacco or with the internet now with a whole new slew of different types of addictions that they may have. Families were dysfunctional. People got sick, illness, diseases. Cancer is real, and it will take family members from you. Or, at the worst, it will disrupt your life in a way that is not good. There's abuse. There's people do lose their jobs. There's financial issues. There's things that just simply go wrong. There are tragedies that happen to people. The need is great. The need is great. And Jesus came across this as he went from town to town and saw how the people were hurting, and he had compassion for them. And he did what he could, what he could do as one man. He would cure their illnesses. He would cast out the demons. He would teach them. He would preach to them. He would bring them the good news and good word of God. But he was only one person, and it would have been easy just to see Jesus overwhelmed, like a huge wave just coming over him, that it's too much for him, too much for one person. And Jesus simply could have given up. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus had compassion. God had to get his message out. And so Jesus found the solution. And he says here in the gospel lesson, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the fields." And that's what Jesus did. And so that's what much of our lesson today is that Jesus sends out his disciples. He gives them instructions of where to go and what to do and the things that are important for them to do and the things that they are to leave behind or the things that are not so important for ministry. And he sends them out. What's interesting to me is he sends these disciples out. He does give them instructions. He does tell them things to do. What is important is that they do go out, that they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that they proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. But he sends them out, and he sends them out even if they're not ready. This is fairly early yet in Jesus' ministry. The disciples had been with Jesus for a while. They had been traveling with him. They had seen what he had done, how he cured illnesses, how he cast out demons. They had heard his teachings. They had heard some of his preachings. But still, yet, it was still early. They were still green. But Jesus sends them out anyway, even though they might not have been ready. The need was so great. Jesus had compassion. God loves his people, and he wanted to make sure that his people were taken care of and that they had heard that message, that good news. And so he sends them out. The disciples had no certificates. They did not have any degrees. They didn't have any diplomas. But God sent them out anyway. And I think that's news for us. Because I think God sends each and every one of us out to do ministry. Sometimes we feel that we're not ready, that we don't have enough knowledge, we don't have enough skill, we don't have enough experience, but God uses us anyway. Even if we don't have the certifications, even if we don't have the certificates, even if you are not ordained, God sends you out anyway. Now, I don't think what Jesus is doing here is saying that we don't need ordained ministry in the church. Ordained ministry is a specialized ministry. It's a specialized call. And pastors are still necessary, I believe, so that teaching is done in the right way, so that preaching is sound, and so that the sacraments are also administered in the proper way. But the ordained ministry is a special ministry, and possibly you have heard God calling you into ordained ministry, and particularly our young people then too, that God has given them the gifts to be full-time church workers. And as parents, as grandparents, as fellow members with these young people, we need to stay attuned to that so that we can help encourage them and uplift them and help them develop those skills that might be needed for that. God does call us into these special ministries, but God calls each and every one of us into our own ministries as well. Even if you do not feel that you are prepared, the need is so great. People need care. They need to hear that word of God in a way that they can actually hear it. And you can do that. People need help when they are sick. People get lonely. Maybe they just need a friend. Maybe they just need someone to listen to them, to care for them, to show them that compassion. Maybe people just need to be prayed for. God calls each and every one of us into ministry. Jesus sent his disciples out because there was so great need. Today in our time as well, there is a great need. People do not know that word of Jesus Christ. They have not heard that good news. They have not felt that compassion. And so God sends us out as well. But this is not one of those things that says, thou shalt do ministry. Rather, it is an opportunity. It is a gift to do ministry. I think I do very much enjoy what I do simply because I get to meet people one-on-one. And people seem to be honest and open and have a need to share what is troubling them. And maybe even sometimes I can help them in some way or another. And ministry is very satisfying to do. It is a good thing, and there's a great joy in doing ministry. And so ministry for everyone can be that same thing, that there is a great joy in going out and doing ministry. You know, Hans has been with us here now for 10 months, and he still has a couple of more months with us. And I think he's ready. He's chomping at the bit to get out there and go and do. And there is an excitement in that, to be able to do ministry, to teach or to just have compassion for people. God sends us out, and it is a gift to be able to do that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.